Evolution. This is Craig. Welcome to this special crossover podcast between the Agile Evolution and the Hack and Heckle podcast. In this episode, we talk about the upcoming YAO conference in Australia, some of the speakers that we're looking forward to, and also just a bit of a general discussion about Agile and Lean in general. Enjoy.
Hello and welcome to Hack and Heckle. This is episode 88. It's Tuesday, the 11th of November, and tonight we're joined by a special guest, Craig Smith, who is an organizer of the YAO conference and also an Agile coach with Agile Revolution. Welcome to the show, Craig, and how about you give us a little intro to yourself and a spiel about what it is you do?
Well, this is the crossover show, so I should probably say, welcome to the Agile Revolution. This is Craig, without my usual cohorts, and we're going to be talking about YAO conference, both from a software development perspective as well as from an Agile perspective, and talk about some of the cool people that are coming out to Australia for the conference.
Yeah, cool. And you've been organizing the YAO conference for a while now. How long has it been?
So I've been involved with a number of conferences in Australia over a number of years, but in particular YAO, I started in 2012. So this is YAO conference number 3. So looking forward to that. And it's always a awesome lineup of speakers coming out. I always have rock star moments meeting all the cool guys that and girls who come out for the conference each year.
Yeah, so it's a fantastic conference for that. We obviously attended last year and did a couple of interviews with some of those rock stars that you refer to. And yeah, it's a bit awe-striking when you're sitting across the table from someone like Scott Hanselman and doing an interview. Delving down into the depths of a brain like that guy's got, and his amazing efficiency and ability to be doing so many different things at once is just crazy. So it's cool to see. We definitely had that experience.
And also to be schooled on how to use our digital recorder, because he did quite a good job of trying to improve podcast.
Obviously, Scott is a podcaster himself, and we had our little recording device there, and yeah, he really took us to town and schooled us on how to use the recording device and brought out his own mics. And
that's a professional right there, right? When you're doing the podcast and he goes, hey, I can make this sound even better.
Yeah, he's basically like, what the hell is this 2-bit operation? Let me show you how the big boys do it.
Yeah, and pretty much you don't get much bigger than he does and him in the podcasting arena.
No,
that's
well,
right.
I guess for the listeners of Agile Revolution, we might introduce ourselves quickly.
Yes, please.
So I'm Ben Morgan, and we've got Darren Rogan and Leah Pell here. So we do the Hack and Heckle podcast, which is mainly a show about tech and the Brisbane scene.
And the Agile Revolution, normally myself, my colleagues who aren't here tonight, but Ray Trouton and Tony Ponton, we talk about all things Agile. Again, we're based in Brisbane and in Sydney, and we talk about Agile from a worldwide perspective, but obviously with an Australian focus. So it's awesome to see. I mean, we're sort of both in the same cities, doing podcasting, but we cross each other's paths, quite regularly, and we listen to each other's podcasts. So it's awesome to have this crossover and bring the two together.
Yeah, that's right. It's always good to see other people who are as passionate about the sorts of topics that we talk about. Craig, just on the Agile Revolution and your sort of your role. So why don't you explain a bit about Agile Revolution itself? You're an Agile coach as well, so maybe speak a little bit about Agile in general and what it means to you, I guess.
Yeah, and also why the Hack and Heckle sort of more developer-focused people, develop stroke startup people, would be interested in your show.
So probably a little bit like most people when they start podcasting, the Agile Revolution was really a show where the three of us on the show were just chatting around things at lunchtime or whatever, and someone one day quipped, we should probably turn a microphone on this, and we kind of went, yeah, actually, let's just do that. So we typically have two styles of shows. We have shows where we just basically get in and rant about all things Agile, and we have, we also do interviews at conferences like YAO and the like. I don't think there's too many people that have probably listened to your show that, unless they're living under a rock, that don't know what Agile's about. But what we do like to do is get into some of the detail and debate some of the things that are happening in the community and happening in the Agile arena in general, and dig a little bit in depth to that and share some of the things that we're thinking about. It's not necessarily educating, it's just sharing the things that that we as Agile coaches are thinking about and the problems that we're facing and what other people are sharing in the community. So it's really just a big share fest, I guess, is probably the best way of of talking about it. So I guess I'd ask you guys the same question. What brought you guys to Hack and Heckle, and what's all that about? So in case people want to listen on our side.
Hack and Heckle is a podcast which is basically three developers ranting about tech news, startup-related tools, software development, and startup world.
Actually, I like that. Can I just steal it? Can I say my thing again? The Agile Revolution is about three people's ranting about the Agile community. I like the ranting bit. That's good. I like that.
Yeah. That's why the heckle's in there, because we like to give each other a So Lee recently went through the Merdi Accelerator and is off on his own after spending a long time in enterprise software. Ben is down at Atlassian, and I'm also working in a US-funded startup. So we do a little bit about our weeks going day-to-day and how to release software, and then we normally tackle big tech events as well. So we do interviews with people from conferences like Lambda Jam. We did interview Ed Commit for Lambda Jam, which actually was a great interview. Another good Yao conference, and Yao sponsored partnership conference, whatever way you want to say. And he's coming again to speak at this conference. So I strongly recommend anyone to actually have a chat to him. Unfortunately, we turned the mic off and we had probably another good 20 minute chat, but I'd already put the mic in my bag, so I felt bad trying to take it back out. But that's it. That's us.
Excellent. So I guess the thing before we move on is if anyone is interested in each other, they're both awesome podcasts. So whatever one you're listening to right now, go to your favorite podcasting device and download the other one and have a listen.
Yeah.
So just on that, Craig, quick question for you, put you on the spot. Would you have a recommended recent show? I saw you had quite a few interviews from the Agile conference recently.
I mean, there's lots of really good ones depending on interviews. They're all awesome people you talk to. We've got one coming up with Goiko Adzik as the is the next interview to be released. But probably my two favourite ones in recent times. One was Jim Benson from the Agile Australia conference. He's the guy behind Personal Kanban, really thinking about how you can kind of improve yourself and the work that you're doing. And that was a really interesting interview. And the other one's a little old now, but still one of my favourites. Which was recorded, hurtling down an interstate at 75 miles an hour in the US with Nick Muldoon from Twitter, previously from Atlassian.
I remember that one. That one was a good one.
And that's still one of my favorites, and still very relevant because Nick's very much in the product management and startup scene, and his insights on some of that is something even new to a lot of people, or a bit different to people in the Agile community. So they're probably two I would recommend going out and listen to.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, Nick Muldoon's, he's actually one of the, I guess you would call him one of the mentors with the Mirror D program down in Sydney. He actually did a session with people about building tech teams and Agile in general. He's fairly big on Agile.
Mm. He is. He was the product manager for what's now known as Jira Agile, but was originally Greenhopper, which is how I got to know him quite well. And yeah, now he's over in Silicon Valley at the moment and moved on from Atlassian to Twitter and doing pretty awesome things.
Mm. Ben's down at Atlassian at the minute. Art, we discussed some of the tools in episode 77 where we talk about Pivotal Tracker, Sprintly, Trello, and Jira. And I actually got hit up by one of the guys at Sprintly, thought the show was pretty good.
Awesome. Yeah, probably my three favorite Agile tools there, particularly Trello and Jira I use on a regular basis depending on what we're doing. Pivotal Tracker has always been a pretty awesome tool.
Yeah, Sprintly is a bit more Kanban-esque than true iteration planning, so you can still do it, but it's more set up for Kanban,
which is really the way that most at least if I set up an Agile team now, and when I use the word Agile, by the way, it's a very loose term, because it's actually very hard to define what Agile is. It's an umbrella for so many things. But
it means something different to everyone.
It does. It's just a term that if I say to you that I kind of help teams do better software, you kind of look at me as if I was an idiot. So
at least you kind of go, okay,
I get what you mean there when I say the word Agile. But it's just that loose term. For most teams I work with now, if I'm setting up a new team or working with them, Kanban is now probably 90% of the time what I'd set up a team, unless you're doing some very big project or you're under some strict deadlines. And the more we move forward, the more those big projects are dying more and more, except in some of the legacy organizations. So more stuff is Kanban than ever before.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's sort of a change in the trend. Sort of, there's been a few different paradigms over the years, and Agile's just one of many.
My favorite is the half-assed Agile Manifesto.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Have you seen that one, Craig?
Oh, I have indeed. Yes, bookmarked for my amusement.
Yeah. I think I've worked under that one a couple of times.
I think we all have a couple of times.
Yes, it's the most commonly adopted form, I think.
Well, I was going to say, like, based just on the Agile thing, is there any kind of recent trends that anyone's noticing that there hasn't really been a new paradigm come about? I mean, Lean maybe is sort of, it's not really software development focused, but more like product focused. Is there anything that anyone's seen along the way? Like Kanban's got a lot of popularity now, you're saying, Craig. Anything else?
Well, there's lots of different things. I actually just recently did a talk in Sydney entitled 40 Agile Methods in 40 Minutes. Because there's far more to the world than just Scrum, XP, and Kanban. Another 37, in fact. In fact, more if I have squeezed them in. the lean startup is kind of like and that's even a few years old now. But that was the wave. If Kanban was a wave enveloping Agile, then the lean startup is a tsunami behind it. Because if you look at the lean startup, if you go and read or go and look at the diagrams, Agile is just a dot point. In the whole lean startup process.
Yeah.
We're talking about continuous delivery and very quick, iterative loops. And it's just a given that you're going to be doing things agile. Forget writing big fat documents and taking 6 months to deliver something. So that you've got that. But then people are tackling other problems in the agile community. I mean, scaling has been probably the big issue. How do larger organizations scale? Things like Scrum and Agile, because a lot of them were initially very team-focused. And probably the big one that's got the most controversy in the Agile community is something called SAFe, or the Scaled Agile Framework. And if you're interested in that, one of our most recent podcasts was with M. Campbell Pretty, who's probably one of the leading trainer on that and expert on SAFe in Australia. The whole scaling thing is it's something that's evolving, but everybody's agreement it's not quite there at this point, and will continue to be something that the community looks at. So there's lots of little things, and then there's the stuff on the fringe. The way that teams and organizations structure themselves, things like Holacracy, which is the way Zappos is setting up its organization to be very flat structured. Things like the Spotify are doing some very interesting things around teams and what they call tribes and squads. People going and working on the stuff that interests them. So, Agile itself.
Is that like the organizational structure itself, or more like the sort of Scrum based metaphor?
Holacracy is the whole of organization, and a lot of people are looking at Zappos now as a model and saying, "Hey, how's this going to work?" It's they're about a year in, but their whole organization is this very flat structure. Yeah. And if you're interested, go and have a look at holacracy.org, the main website. Holacracy's got a constitution and all this kind of stuff that kind of worries me a little bit in its wording. But essentially, at its heart, it's taking away all the command and control in the organization and giving that power back to the people in the workplace to say, hey, let's go and do the things we need to do to make this place even more awesome and deliver on the things we want to. That's a very simple summary. But then you take things like Spotify as a different model. Spotify as a culture is very much that everybody is there and understands what they're working on. They're making streaming music. And so depending on the bits of the system that you're working on, everybody works independently. Everybody does the things they need to do. And it's taken the Scrum type model, but taken it, across the organization.
That was the big thing about Agile, has moved out of the development team and now started to infect the rest of the world.
Absolutely. So you see things like Agile marketing now. If you look at the Agile manifesto, the marketing people have said, well, we need to change because nobody's buying newspapers or watching television anymore. We need to think about how we market to people and we need to be a lot more reactive. We can't have these six-month advertising plans because the thing that we're advertising may not even be relevant.
Then, Craig, let me stop you there. They're not called marketers. They're called growth hackers now.
Right. Yeah. Sorry. Right. But the name of their thing is still called Agile Marketing. So that's their own branding problem.
Mm.
But yeah, it's happening. It's happening in all different, all different walks of life. And actually, I train a lot of agile teams. I get far more people outside of IT, people in HR departments and procurement areas, and those in large organisations coming to the course, and are actually outweighing software developers, because we kind of got it licked, really. Yeah. I mean, it's the people who haven't made the move, but we know how to do it. We're now trying to get the rest of the organisation, because that's where we get the true potential of agile, is when everybody's on board.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. All right, well, enough about Agile. Let's talk about the YAO conference, the upcoming YAO conference. Obviously, it's one of the preeminent Australian developer conferences. Craig, do you want to give a spiel, seeming you're one of the co-organizers?
I think you guys do a better spiel from the other side, but I guess for those who don't know what YAO is, it's an annual Australian software development conference where 30-plus of the world's leading experts come together, and rather than you having to hop on a plane and travel to America and Europe to see some of the world's great conferences, we bring the best of the world's great conferences here to Australia.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's happening in Brisbane, Sydney, and Melbourne. Obviously, we attended last year, and the format sort of follows a two-day conference with, is it three days of workshops or 2 days of workshops?
So 2 day conference, and in Melbourne and Sydney, 1 or 2 day workshops, depending on the workshop. Where if there's something where you want to get in depth with the expert, then a lot of them are offering workshops, so you can spend a day with them and really get into behind the scenes to the technical nitty gritty.
Yeah, and I kind of want to delve deeper into how much do you participate in the actual obtaining of the particular speakers that go to the conference, Craig?
So the way YAO is organized is there's an international program committee, which is actually made up of a bunch of people who organize some different conferences. So YAO is associated with GoTo Conference in Europe, and also some of the QCon conferences. And so basically, from all those conferences, a group gets together usually at the start of the year and then throughout the year, and looks at what are the trends, what are the who are the speakers, who are the people that are making waves, and that we start to lock in essentially from January, trying to get speakers to go to all those conferences, but also to try and make it out here to Australia.
Yeah, and so does it sort of follow a format of somebody sees someone deliver an amazing talk on a particular topic, and then they kind of note that down and shortlist it for what might be farmed out to other conferences around the world?
Yeah, I guess it's either speakers who that may be making waves, or topics that are of interest. So to give an example, microservices is something that been around for a few years, but end of last year, it was kind of starting to get hot. And so this year, as it's continued to grow, that was something that was always aware by the program committee that there'd want to be a few talks on, rather than just one. As an example.
Yeah, on that, it was not last year, the year before, you had Fred George come, and I think that was the first microservices talk. And I think there was some more last year, but Fred wasn't there, and he's back this year.
He is, and interestingly, that Fred George talk only happened in Brisbane because Michael Feathers fell ill, and it was actually a plug-in talk where Dave Thomas was looking for someone to fill in, and Fred went, "I've got this thing on microservices," and we went, "Okay, that sounds cool."
it was one of my favorite talks of 2012, I think it was. Yeah,
because he was really actually interesting. He was out to talk about programmer anarchy. That was the which was a talk at the time that was a that was the big thing, was the whole programmer anarchy and or developer driven development, and the things that he'd learnt from applying that at Ford. He obviously, his sort of next thing following on from that, or thing he was starting to talk about, was this microservices thing, and it was just sort of one of those things that came up there, and as I said, sparked a lot of discussion, and as a result, it's been a popular topic now for the last couple of years.
I can see there's a few more talks on it this year. So what are the main tracks this year? Because we normally have the two-day conference in three rooms, and we sort of have like an agile tract, a functional programming tract, and it looks like a microservices track. Is that sort of the main tracks?
The tracks are still how we kind of organize them. We're just in the final throes of releasing that, but you know, certainly microservices, web, mobile, architecture and design. There's an agile, or what we call a process track, because it's more than just agile.
Yeah.
DevOps, we've got people like Jez Humble, for example.
Continuous delivery. Yep.
So so there's that. There's a languages track, which kind of picks up all the. So there's a functional track, which is obviously functional. A languages track that picks up the .NET, the Java, and you know, other JVM and .NET related type things as well.
Cool. So I see that we don't have any workshops in Brisbane this year, but we do have them in Sydney. Let's just recap the dates for anyone listening. So Melbourne, the conference is on the 4th and the 5th of December, and the workshops are on the 2nd and 3rd of December. In Brisbane, it's on the 8th and 9th, the conference, no workshops here. And then in Sydney, it's on the 11th and 12th of December with the workshops on the 9th and 10th. I assume there's still tickets left for most of those venues.
Certainly, we can. Yep. We can hook you up. That's certainly not a problem.
Yeah, so that's yaoconference.com.au. Sign on there and get some tickets. If you're going to the Brisbane, I'll be there. I'm sure Craig will be at all of them.
I will be around. So what speakers are you guys looking forward to seeing then?
Yeah, well, I guess the one we already talked about was Ed Komet. We really enjoyed him at the Lambda Jam. So I guess speaking of Lambda Jam, you hopefully no last-minute changes of venue then for you, Craig?
Hopefully not. That was, yes. Interestingly, Lambda Jam will be in the venue we're supposed to be in next year. We've essentially locked into that, so hopefully we've made sure that things are things like the contract's a lot more tight. It's nothing worse than organizing a conference and having your venue changing on the last 2 weeks before you go live.
The ones I'm keen to see, I guess some of the guys I've seen before. So Martin Thompson, I saw his high performance talk. It was probably 3 years ago now. I think it's the same one as Fred George, and he was a really interesting speaker. So him and Todd Montgomery, also another one I remember. It sounds like they're doing all the keynotes, right?
Yeah, that's going to be an hour of who knows where that's going to go. We were looking for a keynote, obviously fairly early on, and we're talking to Martin, and he kind of said, "Oh, look, there's so many things I'd love to rant about," and start rolling them off, and they kind of went, "I said that'd make a great keynote," and we went, "Yeah, it would make a great keynote." if we just get someone else to go and. We're talking to Todd, and Todd was having a rant, and we went, "Hang on a second, Martin, right? How about we both rant on that? Because we've got a performance guy and a web guy, right? That pretty much covers all the problems that we have in software development right now." And we went, "Yeah, it's on." So that's where that came from.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to that one. That one should be good.
Some of the talks like that. I mean, last year we had Scott Hanselman, and who's an awesome speaker. But in years past, some of the keynotes come from sort of places like this. I mean, we had a couple of years ago there was I still think one of my favorite ever Yao talks. This might have been 2010, maybe 2011. Was one called 50 and 50, which was kind of a look back of 50 different languages across the last 50 years. So these kind of ones where we've got a couple of speakers and they're sort of speaking about their passion and the heart are sometimes where the best talks come from.
Mm. That's cool. That would have been a really cool talk, actually.
Yeah, if you haven't seen it, go Google. There's a few versions of it around there, and it's one of the best tech talks I've ever seen. It just makes you realize the history that we sit in and some of the languages that people invent for weird reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, so we've also got Troy Hunt, one of the venerable Australian experts on security, web security, I guess. He's giving a talk on, you guessed it, web security. I would love to see that one, absolutely.
And he was one of the most probably requested speakers this year. We had a lot of requests from him, because we always ask if anyone's ever got a speaker or a suggestion. At Yao, we keep those and look through them, and Troy is one that we've had a lot of requests for. So, a lot of people looking forward to Troy.
Yeah, good year for it as well. With what we've had, two or three major incidences with Shellshock,
Heartbleed.
The leaking of Buffer, whatever that was, it Buffer leaking, Heartbleed, yeah. Heartbleed. And then the Poodle, which I think Security Now is making a bit of fun of, but a few big news items already to warm you up for it.
Absolutely.
Mm. Right, how about you, Darren? What are you looking forward to?
I'm a big fan of microservices, so I'll probably be going to some of those. There are quite a few ones. I've seen some of the Edward Komet ones before, but I find him as a very entertaining speaker, so I'm not sure if I'll go and see those ones or not. And I wouldn't mind seeing the Docker Slayer of Chef and Puppet, because I've been playing with Docker recently, so I'll probably check that one out from Edwin van der Kok. I'm not pronouncing that properly, but anyway.
I'm surprised there's only one Docker talk.
Yeah, it is actually interesting. Microservices kind of trumped DevOps.
Yeah, Docker's just had amazing popularity. It seems to have garnered it somehow over the last year or so. It's just gone absolutely nuts. And I've touched it and played with it a bit. I'm not using it in production. I was going to use it in production for my startup that I'm working on, but it just became a little too hard for and too new for me to invest the time into. But it was close. But it seems like there's plenty of people out there who are already investing in it and investing their resources and time into exploring its use in production. So it's good to see that it's there at least.
Yeah,
particularly Google. Right? I just read an article just today about Google and their they've now got his title, but he's essentially it's like a lead of DevOps at Google, and they're really pushing heavy in this direction now as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a lot more efficient than virtualization, because I did a lot of stuff with virtual machines previously, but this is just much closer to the metal, so much faster. Although some of the first people offering it are offering Docker within virtualized machines, which sort of defeats some of the purpose, but
Well, Docker's sort of got two very distinct usages for it, right? There's that virtualization side thing, but it's also as a packaging mechanism.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, for consistency. I suppose that makes sense. Another one I want to see is maximum viable products, which is sort of like anti-lean. So I'm not sure if I'm going to agree with Alan Pike's talk, but he is focused more on the app stores and the idea of having, what you need to do in order to take the market. So I find that as we mentioned lean earlier, so that's sort of like the rebellion against lean, especially within mobile. So I wouldn't mind seeing that one.
He's like your arch nemesis, Darren. He's like your anti-hero.
A little bit. My difference is when you do lean, there's a minimal viable product, and the viability has to be definitive. And that is just not when I finish coding a feature. That is not minimal viable product. That's just minimal coded product. So I do believe in minimal viable product, but I do think that the minimal product set still has to be awesome.
The term's definitely been conflated for sure.
Yeah, it's almost like I've hacked something together, therefore I'm done. So yeah, I think it's sort of swung a bit too far.
So where do you guys sit on the difference between minimal viable product and minimal marketable feature, which always seem to get used interchangeably?
Well, we've discussed this in the past on the podcast, and I think I sat on the other side of Darren and Ben as to the definition of minimum viable product itself. So I think we'll struggle with the difference between two different things that are conflated when we can't even agree on the one definition of minimal viable product.
We agreed to disagree, if that makes sense. What do you think, Craig?
For the purposes of sometimes just explaining to people, particularly if they're new to this whole thing, then to me the terms are reasonably interchangeable if you're used to just delivering things in big batches. When you actually get past that, usually what happens is that a minimal marketable feature, there can be many of those in a minimal viable product.
That's essentially my
definition. But people use them interchangeably.
Yeah. We sometimes use the term MVP with a feature. So like the product is not a minimal viable product, but we are trying out certain features, and we will do a subset of a feature to determine if it's got any traction before building it all out, which is basically what it is.
Yeah. Mm. And so interestingly, at the conference, as you talk about that, we talk about Alan Pike and his antithesis. We've obviously got Mary Poppendieck, who is essentially the, along with Tom Poppendieck, the lean software development gurus, who essentially bridged the first to bridge that gap between lean manufacturing and lean and software, and give us something to aim for from the lean space.
Mm. Yeah, I think I'll be trying to attend both, which is tough to wait and see. But I like the fact that both sides of the argument are going to be given. I think in particular, if you're trying to do consumer apps on mobile, it does make sense to try to have a kick-ass feature because people are quite fickle in regards to checking apps out, if you know what I mean. It's almost like web is one game and app stores is a different one. Mm. Any other ones that you're looking to go to, Craig?
So from the Agile side, I mean, I mentioned Mary. Jeff Patton's been someone who comes out for conference quite regularly. I was lucky enough to sit his two-day certified Scrum product owner course a few months ago. And I actually teach a version of the product owner course. And 2 days of just learning from that guy is just awesome. He comes from a product owner and a user experience background. So he's very pragmatic and in the way that he teaches things. And he's just released a new book called User Story Mapping, which if you're trying to break down a problem and trying to understand the direction you need to go to is a very useful agile technique for essentially building your backlog, but looking at it from the purposes of a minimal viable product perspective, because that's how use story mapping allows you to get there. Mm-hmm. But also making sure that you're looking at it from a particular persona or a particular user set, so you're not overcomplicating the issue.
Yeah, I hear you there. That's good. That would have been useful a couple of months ago.
So he'll be talking about user story mapping. I actually haven't read the book yet. The book's only just been released. It's an O'Reilly book. And it's been about 6 years in the making. And I remember talking to him, I think back in 2009, and he was already working on the book then, and it's only just made it out now. He's for an agile guy, it took him 6 years to ship, so I'm not sure.
Maybe he should read the lean book.
Goyko Adzik's the other guy. Again, I had the pleasure of sitting through his course just recently, and not sure by the time you hear this, either the last or the next podcast on the Agile Revolution is where I get to sit down with Goyko and talk to him. He's the author of a book called Specification by Example, which if you're not kind of sure what that term means, it's sometimes very interchangeably used with acceptance test-driven development, or ATDD, or behavior-driven development, BDD, and is really about how we can have better conversations in order to elicit requirements in the first place, but then also make sure that if we're going to produce artifacts, that they can be useful artifacts. So, for example, if you do have to write down specifications, write them down in examples so that everybody understands what's going on. But we can also use them as executable tests. So, I've got a lot of respect for Goyko and his stuff.
Cool. That sounds like quite a lot to go on. So, what are the workshops this year?
A lot of the aforementioned. So, I mentioned Jeff and Goyko, but I guess in the software development space. So, Fred George is running a microservices workshop. So, it'd be awesome to sort of sit down with him for a day and understand how to do it. I guess one of the ones actually, I always try to get along to at least one, if I can, two workshops. And the one I think I'm marking down as one I really want to see is Simon Brown. Actually, you know Simon. He's the author of a book called Software Architecture for Developers, which I haven't had the privilege to read, but he's doing a workshop on simple sketches for diagramming your software architecture. And I think that's something that if we get more simple in the way that we diagram software architecture, but we can still have those rich discussions and think about things from an architect perspective, I think that'll be really good. So I'm looking forward to that.
That one would be good. I think sometimes people get a little bit too caught up in the format of a diagram, and if it's 100% accurate to the spec of the diagramming framework, rather than trying to understand that the sketch is there to articulate something, and if it has articulated its meaning, then it's probably good enough. So I'm quite interested in a simplification there. I remember getting into UML hell many times on BPMN and stuff as well, going, oh well, that's an OR decision, and sort of, I'm like, oh, I don't really care, you understand. But anyway, another heckle rant.
Don't get me started on that. That's a whole other podcast. I guess the other, if I think from the software development perspective, I guess one that I think will be quite interesting is Leah Hansen. She's a software engineer at Google, but I guess in her spare time or for fun, she is an advocate for the language called Julia, which looks interesting. I don't know an awful lot about it, but her workshop is entitled From Installed to Productive, and I always like sort of workshops where you can kind of dive in. It's probably not a language I would have probably just picked up and learned on my own, but it looks kind of interesting.
Yeah, I haven't even heard of Julia. Was it
been really popular on Hacker News over the last 6 to 12 months? Probably, it's like a super high performance language,
Python for kind or of something?
Number crunching. No, it's not. It's not like Python. It's well, who knows? The syntax, like, it's going to take aspects from all sorts of places, but its real focus is on performance. So, like, really high performance number crunching. So the sort of stuff where you're plotting graphs with a lot of data and that sort of thing.
Cool. I might actually take a look at that.
Yeah, yeah, that would be a really interesting workshop to go to, especially because it kind of takes you from go to woe.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to get to any workshops this year. I can't get the time off to fly and hotel costs and stuff on top. It was a shame. I really enjoyed the... I went to the microservices one done by Sam. Is it Sam? I can't remember.
Yep.
It was just a lack of attendance last year in Brisbane, Craig, that led to the decision to not have any.
Yeah, Brisbane's an interesting market. It's it's interesting because it's the birthplace of Yao and yeah, where everything happens. But unfortunately, the corporates and the demands are there. And the biggest issue is that Yao now does three cities. So it used to be Melbourne and Brisbane. So it was easy to split between the two. There's more demand now, for workshops in Sydney, and so the decision was made. Initially, was kind of made to focus on those two cities, and some of our initial feedback was that, particularly from sponsors and from large corporates, was there wasn't a lot of interest in attending, which makes them very, very hard to to justify. So if anybody is at a couple of things I will say. One of the things is that, you know, people are in the country and there is support, for numbers for that. We always can look at ways of getting people, around the cities. We were talking to about bringing a couple of the workshops if we could get some support. So if anyone is listening and goes, hey, I can kind of get the first, tickets on that and could make it viable, then, we're always willing to talk to people.
So how should we get in contact if they're interested? Should they hit you up on Twitter or send you an email? Or
Best thing is hit us on info@yaoconference.com. That way somebody will see and work their way through and get back to you on what's going on. Our travel schedules are tight on this trip, but if we can't do it at conference time, there's always we do run workshops throughout the year. So yeah, there's always the opportunity potentially to bring people back if there's a lot of interest. Obviously, if you're looking, the best place to go is to yaoconference.com.au and click through to the Yao Conference page, and from there you can see, we talked just about a few of the speakers, but you can see the full lineup, as well as on that page there is a registration link for all the cities. If you are listening to the podcast and decide you do want to get along, I'm offering a special deal right here, a 15% discount to anyone listening to Hack and Heckle to get along with the conference. So, or Agile Revolution. So we'll call it, what do we call the podcast with it? Agile Heckle? Heckle Agile?
Heckle Revolution.
Heckle Revolution. There you go. Type in Heckle Revolution into the link. We'll put that in the show notes. Heckle Revolution, that'll get you a 15% discount just for listening to the podcast. See? Easy. 15% just by listening to a bit of measly audio.
You just have to listen to the end to get the code, that's all.
Well, if you got this far, then congratulations, you deserve 15% off.
All right, well, I think that's about it for tonight. So it's goodbye from me, Darren Rogan. I'm on Twitter at Darren Rogan.
It's goodbye from me, Ben Morgan. You can catch me on Twitter on at Ben Edwin Morgan.
Goodbye from me. I'm Craig Smith. I'm at SmithCDAU. And as we always say on our podcast, Viva La Revolution.
And you can catch me, Lee Appel, at Abarax on Twitter.
And the podcasts again are hackandheckle.com and theagilerevolution.com. I hope you enjoy the shows.